Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Underpants Mac Show. That's right. Ben is growing up. He's excited because he has his own underpants now. And you know what? I'm super excited for him. Ben, we're proud of you. Do you want to show us yours? I'll show you mine.
No, please don't.
Please don't.
Oh, wait. I'm sorry. This is the Mac Show, not OnlyFans. Got
only,
it.
Only
okay,
Jeff's.
Sorry about that. Well, yeah. Yes.
We give this to you for free. The other stuff you got to pay for.
Yeah, we need to get that domain. We're going to get rich.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Anyhow, the Mac Show. And if you weren't here for the pre-show stuff, just to let you know, you missed out on a really fun Doctor Who discussion. Also, the Leaves of Iowa. Get off my lawn, you filthy leaves. Hey,
happy Halloween, you filthy animals.
Yeah. Iowa animals, take a bath. Why am I allowed back here?
I don't know.
I'm questioning Dad right now.
Ewan's question.
As am I, Patrice.
Yes. Yeah, I was about to say, do you have like, something that's very special to you and hostage.
Yeah, I think he might have some videos of you.
It's his time. I have that he doesn't. His time.
I think Ewan just wanted a truly unique, one of a kind, unduplicatable host for the podcast, and that is Jeff Gamet.
It is.
You know,
well,
which is better for the world.
We're off the rails here.
We haven't even started.
When's the last time we were on the rails?
Yeah, so what's new?
Yeah, that's
about
a good
that?
Question. Yeah. 10 years ago, maybe.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, okay. Let's pretend like we're on the rails. Okay, we're going to go through the motions of the show, and
the introductions are the show.
Yeah. Anyhow, Dave, how are you?
I am doing well. It's Friday. Always look forward to seeing everybody here. The weekend's coming up ahead. We've still got some warm weather, and I'm happy with my iPhone 15 Pro Max and all kinds of fun things. So great to be here.
Awesome. And Chuck, how are you?
I am great, Jeff. I am great. It's... this interaction with this group is so much more fun than the phone call I got right before we started that it just puts it all in perspective for me. I should be here with you guys.
Yes.
I think the big takeaway from that is never answer your phone.
Yes.
It was a mistake. It was, I thought it was someone else. It wasn't. And the person, the entity or person that it was just pushed my blood pressure up. So thank you, doctor.
Should have let it go to visual voicemail.
Yeah.
You know, that whole visual voicemail. Okay, I'll save it for the show.
Wait a second. Yeah. Isn't this the show? No.
Oh, it is the show.
Yes.
Yeah, but
get through the.
Okay, see, what could happen now is we just roll with that. Mm-hmm. And then at some point, like right before I start talking about TSO hosts, then I could say something like, hey, Patrice, how are you?
Well,
no, really, how are you?
Okay. No, I'm good. I'm good. It's been a week. That's all I could say. I had a business trip early in the week, like from Sunday onwards to Germany. And it was short and sweet. And I had like a workshop week. Like I attended 2 days on-site and 2 days remote because I had a dentist appointment that I didn't want to move because I had planned it for 2 months. So that was like, nope. Like I'll do remote, but I'm back here on Wednesday. So I did that. The workshop was very intense. It's about a new kind of certification or attestation in Germany, which for like our cloud operations, which is crazy. German government, but like, what can I say? So yeah, it was good. Like it was really, I learned a lot. It was really good. Really nice group of people, like from 24 different projects around the company. So that was good. Plus our CISO and so on, like a lot of good people. And yeah, today I baked a lot.
Nice.
Yeah, today was my baking day for some reason. I made like sourdough rye rolls that I did, like the dough I did yesterday and then more this morning I baked them. It takes about a day to do it like end to end. And I'm making like basically Swedish cinnamon rolls.
Okay, we're pivoting the show to foodie flashback.
Yes, we should. We should. Yeah, no, it's like they're still proofing. So after the show, I'll throw them in the oven and I have carnibuller. So
nice.
It's going to be fun. Yeah, so that's my start in the weekend. Like, I really enjoy doing it. So
on the whole bread thing, my plan this weekend is banana bread.
Yummy.
Yep, I'm going to go to its fall brethren.
You're going to make some pumpkin bread.
Oh, yes. Oh, I should mention, I had my first pumpkin spice latte. That's important. Since I was traveling, I thought I would.
Was it Starbucks?
Nice.
Yeah, of course. Like, it's the one and only.
Okay, here's the thing about pumpkin spice hate that I don't understand. I mean, seriously, why do people get their panties in a bunch over pumpkin spice things? It's a collection of really good spices.
Yeah, and if you don't like them, then don't eat them. Like, what's the problem?
Right, and a lot of people that complain about, oh, I don't want a pumpkin spice latte, that's so stupid. Anyhow.
Don't freaking have one, idiot.
Exactly.
Yeah, don't have there's, one. But they'll eat a spice cake. They love carrot cake.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. And
or like a German mulled wine or something, like
a German mulled wine,
stuff like that. Yeah, so I mean, the only bad thing you can say about it is it has a ton of sugar, like a ton.
Yes.
Yeah. And now everybody can get off that frappuccino everyone has.
Mm-hmm.
Jeff, I can explain it for you. It's easy. People are stupid.
That's
it all makes sense now. Yeah, totally forgot about that part.
Yes.
Yeah.
Start with as a baseline for almost any discussion, and it will explain a light years worth of behavior.
Yes, I can feel the hate flowing through this podcast. You are all using the dark side.
But if you guys keep this up, I'm going to leave early to go get something to eat because now you'll have me hungry.
Yeah, either that, we'll just see Chuck instantly wearing black with a red lightsaber.
Yeah.
I bet you'd look pretty slick.
Yeah, I would say so. Or like one of those really long red ropes would also be fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can see that. All right.
Yeah, then I would look like Q.
So. It's true.
Hey, I'm
not like that's a bad thing.
Powers.
Exactly.
Well, it would make me omnipotent. So
exactly.
It has some advantages.
Yeah.
The fanfic practically writes itself.
Move on to the first story, Jeff. This is getting out of hand.
Yeah.
Because I still haven't said hi, Ben. How are you?
Hey guys. I'm good. I'm ready to do the show in 3 to 4 hours.
That is absolutely spot on. Yeah. All right. So I'm going to preface all of this with I haven't even bothered to look to see if there's any interesting Apple-focused news that's come out today. So if there is, let me know and we can talk about it. Otherwise,
you mean the Bing, the potential Bing acquisition from like 10 years ago?
Wait, is that a thing again?
No, they're rehashing it.
Yeah.
Oh, so slow news day. So let's bring up really old news stories and you know what I'd rather do, and this is totally self-serving, three of you have iPhone 15s. I want to talk about your new phones because you've had them for a week now, and Patrice, you did your unboxing for us.
No, checked it.
Yeah,
Chuck, it wasn't me.
Yeah,
I got mine on Wednesday. Problem. So.
When
I
mean, beautiful people I mean, do
they look so much alike.
I forget which one it was.
Okay. No, I got mine on Wednesday. So Chuck has had a week.
Me too.
I've had a week.
Yeah.
Boy, have I had a week.
Oh, I'm with you.
Yeah. I'm just dressed up in the same color as a new iPhone.
Oh, okay. And this is why we want to hold you and touch you consensually, of course.
Okay. Sure.
Anyhow, it's been great having Ben on the show. I'll go sit in HR. They have a chair up there with my name on it.
Yeah. So no, we know. We know why.
Yeah. Yeah. When I show up in HR, it's like, oh, hey, Jeff, what was it like, this time?
Yeah, exactly. And here's your tea. We already prepared
right,
for you.
And here's your tea.
Yes. Jeff is the only person that has ever had an HR manual dedicated to him.
Yeah. It's a picture book.
Oh. Okay.
Oh, anyhow, new phones.
New phones.
Oh, God, that was good. That was good. Yeah,
new phones. Yeah, new phones. It's fun. It's definitely lighter than expected. You can, you don't notice when you're just holding it, like, just the one phone because you get used to it. But if you have both and you have, you can do both in one hand, in both hands, you can tell the difference.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I did it last night on the show, and I now boxed it up, so I got to go ship it today. I did notice a definite difference in the weight. You know, I had the 14 Pro Max, and now this 15, and they mm-hmm. definitely, it's subtle, but enough that it's noticeable.
And noticeable is the word that I use, Dave, because especially if I wear dress pants, you know, I've noticed that the old phone was just noticeable in my pocket. The new one just seems to cross back over that edge where it's not noticeable. And that's comparing phone to phone, same case to same case. It's nice that, I mean, it was never a huge issue, but it was just there. Now I actually am never sure, you know, I have to reach down and make sure I have it in my pocket. Yeah. Whereas before there was never a doubt in my mind.
Oh yeah. Yeah, you with the current or with the iPhone, with the steel iPhone Pro Maxes, you didn't have to see it was in your pocket. You had to see if your pants were still up.
Yeah, I don't have that problem. But...
Yeah, not. I mean, you're not, Ben, you're not exactly far off. I mean, that's obviously a little exaggeration. But there was that issue that you felt like one side was definitely pulling at your belt. Mm-hmm. So, and
yeah.
Now, not anymore. Constantly. So,
yeah, even more so when you're wearing any kind of athletic pants that don't have a belt.
Yes, good point. Good point.
The image, I've got it in my head now. Thanks, Ben. Fair, I suppose.
Yeah. Mike, what are your thoughts on the action button?
I haven't really been able to explore it much, but I'm looking forward to it. I don't know if you've dove into Patrice as far as using shortcuts, because I saw it. I think it was Federico had something where you actually could bring put the shortcut to create the menu at the top to get to buttons. I found that to be intriguing to look at that. But I mean, I'm pretty impressed. I like the animations of this. I mean, just switching between the buttons. I think that's kind of cool in itself. Yeah. The way they did this, it's first
definitely
kind of a first, a way they animated it here.
I'm still disappointed that it doesn't have multiple options where you can like set it for, I don't know, if you long press it, if you short press it, or double press, or sort of triple press, whatever. Like, I mean, all the other buttons have multiple options, and this one doesn't. So that's kind of disappointing. But I'm with you. Like, the animations are really nice. I have not used shortcuts. Yeah. Like, for I considered Federico's thing for like a second. I actually downloaded it, and then I realized I don't have any shortcuts that I want to run.
Yeah.
So I was like, I have shortcuts, but none that I would want to run from there.
Like, and I still want to be able to control the ringer. I didn't pay close attention to it. I will say, it will take and get a little, you know, everybody because complaining the fact that now it's not a toggle switch like it was on the other
models. That's my big complaint. Yep.
And I talked about this last night. You tap and hold it does one tap, and then if you hold it again, it does a double tap, and then it the ringer shows off.
And if you want to know the status, you just quickly press it. It just shows the status. Yeah. So that's actually pretty nice. I've never liked the mute switch, and the reason for it is if you have a case like this, it's really hard with nails to get to that, like because it's like inset a little bit. So I've never liked it that much, and this is definitely easier with this button. But I just completely disabled that because I usually don't need the mute button. I'll either set it on my watch anyway, or I have a focus mode or something that I switch to, which I can just do by switching the home screen. So I don't need it. I actually set it to the camera because for me, that is that is the thing that I do frequently, that if I can get it faster, it's better. Like you're out and about, you want to take a photo of something and you're like, okay, wake up the phone, click on the button, hold it. Okay, now the camera's up. And this way I can just press the button and the camera is there. Should be. Okay, see, it's not even working. I have to hold
it. That's actually the one shortcut I would be using when I get mine. I would set up that button to launch Halide through shortcuts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can do that.
Which is the one thing as a kind of a more pro iPhone photographer that has driven me nuts for years. The fact that I have to go into the damn thing to launch a pro camera app. Well, now I can. And if it's not Halide, it can be any app you want.
Yeah, and with shortcuts, you get some extra options. You can build shortcuts where, depending on the time of the day, for example, different things happen.
Yeah.
Like you have, if you have use cases like that, where it's like, in the evening, I wanted to whatever, turn on or off the lights. And during the day, I wanted to do whatever, open and close the shades or whatever. With shortcuts, you can do that.
You have like a dedicated night camera app.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it could also be stuff like that. I just want to show that. Like, so if I'm the phone is off, like or sleeping. Oops, I should get that to sleep, and then just hold the button, and there's the camera. So this is really faster. No tapping around and finding things.
That
whatever.
Does look a lot faster.
Yeah.
And this is
if you're the person who needs that.
Yeah, this is exactly why I think this is a good idea moving forward, that it gives you more options. We learned on David's show last night something I didn't realize, that there are different tactic responses to let you know whether you're silenced or not silenced, or turning it, toggling it one way or the other. So then if I have the option to add more functions to that with only one button, it's like a shortcut. It's almost like a keyboard shortcut. Yes, you have to learn it, but once you've learned it, then it's incredibly useful. And set it up, and then learn it, and then use it. And it means we don't have to have 25 buttons down the side of each side of the iPhone to do some of the key things that you want to do.
Yeah, and I know that this is going to drive some people nuts, not having that ringer switch, but it fixes some things that were driving other people nuts. Not everybody can have everything they want, but this makes it a little bit easier for everyone. So it's because Apple just saying, here, do whatever the hell you want with this button.
No matter what, people will complain because it's changed. You remember there was a time where I think on the iPad they had that where you could switch it between orientation lock or mute switch. And I think, I don't remember, orientation lock was even the default or something. And people were like up in arms about that. Like it's just any change, some people would complain because now it's different. And then they get used to it and it's fine.
Yeah, then they still complain.
Yeah, I mean, sure, because they're German.
Now, I've been pretty open about complaining about the button change. And that's coming from someone who uses the mute toggle mm-hmm. all the time, every day. And having a way to tell tactically, or not like look around the corner, red team go, but like tactile,
yeah.
you know, to know that my phone mm. is on mute, that's been a big thing for me, because most of the time I'm not looking at my phone when it happens, mm-hmm. when I'm testing. I mean,
yeah,
and.
So- That would be an easy, I just tested that. That would be an easy improvement for Apple. Currently, if you short press it, it will show whether it is muted or not, but it will not give you haptic feedback. So I think that would be a good thing if they had like a haptic feedback option where, like, when you press it short, it tells you what the current status is, basically. I think that would solve your problem,
That would
right?
be great. Yeah, that would solve my problem. And as it stands now, having a haptic feedback thing where if I press and hold, it's going to change it, and I know what the new state is. So that addresses a big part of my problem right there.
Mm-hmm.
So my phone will be in my pocket, and I'm going to be toggling between mute and unmute a lot when I get an iPhone 15.
Mm-hmm.
Just to make sure my phone is actually muted.
Yeah.
So that addresses a big thing for me.
And that's the advantage of the button now. Apple can extend the functionality.
I do appreciate that. And I like that there's more functionality available. And at the same time, I am going to really miss the physical toggle. And granted, I don't have the fingernail issue, and I absolutely get why that's a problem for some people. So I'm glad that the button addresses that. But I do find some irony in the fact that Apple put that toggle switch on there specifically because of what the action button is, which is a button that can do a lot of different things. And so now you need to know the secret things so that you get what you want from the buttons. And I think for some people, this is going to make their phone much more complicated. The other side of that, though, is that I think this is Apple telling us, hey, you know, when we introduced a thing that was a web browser, music player, and a communication device? Okay, it's a multifunction device now that also gives you communication features. So the mm-hmm. iPhone, from Apple's perspective, is no longer a phone first. It's a pocket computer that has a phone built in.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, think about it. Like any PC or Mac, usually they don't have a mute button in that sense where you can physically see what the state is. And nobody has had, or at least I'm not aware of anybody who has had a problem with it.
Yeah.
So not different.
Yeah. Honestly, what they did, they standardized the mute unmute function between the iPad, the Apple mm-hmm. Watch, and the iPhone.
And the Vision Pro at some point.
Yeah. In fact, I mean, regardless of the Switch, I wish they would just add it to Control Center on all iPhones as an option.
All right, so on the Watch, I can use the buttons to mute and unmute the Watch.
Yeah, if you go into Control Center, they'll have a little bell-shaped
mm-hmm.
icon, and that's the mute.
Yeah.
Oh, you mean for just bringing up Control Center?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. That Okay, I was thinking, wait a second. So I can just push the button and it goes to mute now? No.
Yeah.
It goes to control center where I then get to mute.
Mm-hmm.
Which, okay, so to me, that's not standardized because on the phone, that's you push the button and you're muting. Mm. On the watch, you're pushing the button and you're going to control center.
Yeah, on any other device, you have to go to control center. Well, actually, on a Mac, there's a shortcut for it, but usually yeah. You go to control center and mute it. Yeah, and I mean, I think that is a compromise because like the button can do more and you can switch it away and do something else and then it's the same. But it's a compromise for the people who are used and want that button there to still have that button there.
Yeah, I expect I will be one of those people who doesn't change the functionality of the button.
Yeah, and that's okay.
Because I need the mute and I need it multiple times every day.
Yeah. And I could.
And it's and okay I could, that I don't use it the same as everyone else.
Totally yeah. Fine. And that's I could why, totally that's see. I, made that way. I could totally see that iOS 18, or maybe even before that, we get the functionality that you can, if you want to, change the functionality based on the focus mode. That maybe it's mute when you're in work mode, but if you're like in whatever personal mode or whatever, it's different. It's a camera, something like that. Could be.
That would be interesting. Yeah. All right. So that's the control button. Have no, any of you played with... Oh, Siri's ratting me out.
No, Carrot. That was Carrot.
That was Carrot. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, Carrot's ratting me out. We meatbags are doing a show.
Yeah. Have any of you played with USB-C on your new iPhone yet?
Yes.
And what's your experience? What have you been doing?
Well, I did try the external drive. See how the files would copy over. Boy, it was really fast. I got the 40 gigabit cable, and it does work. I also charged my Apple Watch with the iPhone. It does charge a little slower. That's the only drawback to it, but overall, it does do a pretty good job with that. Haven't done anything else as far as connecting to audio devices or any of that kind of stuff, but I'm impressed with what you can do with it. It's something very different, and you know, like Chuck said the other day when he was hooking up his camera, he still had his lightning cable to plug it in. I've already seen a few YouTubers that did the same thing just to make fun of it. Like, wait, this isn't working. Oh, yeah, I got to switch it. Mm-hmm. So people are getting a little used to it. But you know what? I haven't heard a lot of complaints about this switchover compared to when we heard it the old days from the 30 pin to the lightning. I mean, it really hasn't been much of a huge deal breaker. I think if anybody was
given that a couple of weeks, we'll get a gate, the USB-C gate or something.
Yeah, but someone will complain and I think it's not. they are saying it is charging in if you use a higher wattage adapter, like a 67 watt, and you can get some really good charging times in like 30 minutes. You'd be about completely like 50%, which is pretty awesome, because a lot of us always carry our high wattage bricks with us when we travel, so you want to be able to charge. So beyond that, it's been a good experience.
Yeah, me anyway. I'm looking forward. I mean, I don't care honestly about the USB-C change. I'm like, it doesn't make a difference because I rarely ever plug in, but I'm looking forward to the day where I don't have to take a lightning cable with me.
Right,
like it's one less cable that I need. I mean, currently I still need it for the AirPods, but
there is
you can upgrade like Dave.
Is one gate in the making, unfortunately, and it's a matter of how much the tech press is going to play it up, because apparently there are some USB-C external batteries that don't sufficiently or won't sufficiently charge the iPhone because of the reverse charging thing. So you might end up charging the power bank from the iPhone as opposed to the other way around.
Oh, yeah, I think about that.
Yeah, which, but I mean, that, you know, that's a software
feature. Yeah, now I haven't tried those yet. I haven't tested it out yet. But I do have one of the magnetic battery packs that seems to charge this phone just fine. You recharge that by, I think, honestly, I'm not sure now, come to think of it, which cable you use to recharge that. But part of me says, you know, I guess there are circumstances I would potentially use a third party power bank to charge my phone.
For sure.
Because I have that MagSafe and that plus the battery time on the phone itself is very, very good. Mm-hmm. I just can't see this being a huge deal unless you are one of those people that is backpacking in the out country for 3 or 4 days.
I think the more likely gate is currently a heat gate. Because some people, for some reason, are complaining that it's warmer. I haven't even noticed that. I don't know what they are doing. I mean, some of it is legit, I think, because we know that titanium like retains heat a little bit better than aluminum does. So that's known. It's expected.
I'm actually feeling a slight heat on it today. I didn't notice that.
Yeah.
But it's not... I mean, it's not like to the touch, but I mean, I'm noticing.
Some people are like massive issue and they're talking about it all the time. And I like,
of course,
are these people taking temperature readings on their phone? Meaning like using a handheld thermal scanner.
Someone probably is, but most people aren't. They're just, it is warmer. So it must be a problem. No,
I would love to know what temperature these phones are getting to, and I'm not saying that in a negative sense. Like I don't believe that your phone is really hotter. I'm just really curious. What are the temperatures these phones are reaching, and is it a temperature level that we need to be concerned about?
So there were some people I remember, like I think the first day or the first 2 days, that said that the phone even like, you know, it has that protection mode where like if it's too hot, it goes into that. And apparently for some people it happened. We don't know about the circumstances. Maybe it was in Arizona or something where like it's just hot outside anyway. So, I mean, yeah, that can happen. And that's probably more likely to happen if the phone just retains a little bit more heat. And then on the like first day or two, it's usually doing some quite intense on-device processing for like photos and Siri and so on. So not unexpected. We have that story every year. Like, phone battery is really bad because of that and stuff like that.
Yep. No, I do expect when I set up a new phone,
mm-hmm.
or if I have to do a factory reset, essentially starting over as a new phone, that for the first couple of days, my performance isn't going to be what I expect.
Mm-hmm.
And then once all the background processing finishes, then my phone is suddenly snappier and the battery life is better.
Yep.
And Jeff, that you're right. That goes to battery life. That goes to heat. That goes to pretty much all aspects of the phone, that these are devices that, I mean, the good news is they're kind of setting themselves up, that, you know, we're not having to sit there and do a lot of manual things. They're doing a lot of things in the background for us as we get there. So, you know, stick it in the oven and let it bake, and then it'll come out like one of Patrice's breads. But you know, if you don't give it the time, then you're going to have issues. Now, when I did my migration over, I did a completely wireless migration. I decided to let the phone re-download everything. Mm-hmm. Did the phone get a little warm? Yeah. Did it get hot? You know, no, I wouldn't have used that term, but it did get noticeably warm. And then for the next couple of days, the thing that's interesting to me about these reports is intermittent. You know, that I'd love to know if there's a particular time of day or something that they're noticing that this is happening. Because I noticed, I think it too.
Is. Yes.
Is it? Okay. I noticed it too. I just couldn't identify a time.
So it's like, that's in general, there's like even like in for developer, like developers know that there's background processes have certain priorities. And Apple, of course, tries to prioritize certain things, especially more like intensive work for times when you're most likely not going to use it. So the phone actually knows quite a bit about how you use it. Like, that's why you get like all the charging options and so on, where it tells you, hey, I'm not going to charge to 100% until this and this time, because yeah, you usually don't need it overnight. Stuff like that. It does know quite a bit like how you use it. And I'm guessing that gets transferred from your old phone. So, and then it knows, okay, this is the time where Chuck probably doesn't need it as much. So we can do maybe a little bit more processing and finish some stuff. And then, oh, this time Chuck actually needs his phone. So let's like prioritize Chuck actually using it. Stuff like that.
That would seem reasonable.
Yeah. Yeah. It's known. It's been there for a couple of years at least. Like, I remember probably like 4 at least. So it's not a new feature.
But Patrice, you bring up an interesting point too, that, you know, what is the environment that the folks are using the phone in that they're having these issues?
Yeah.
Because that could be, you know, if you're in a hot car or if you are in Arizona or, you know, whatever.
Yeah. I mean, this summer has been really hot. So September is no different currently.
Right. So the ambient temperature could affect, you know, how much the phone is having to compensate. So I don't know. I mean, we're going to see somebody say, well, it caught something on fire. Phone is heating up. Then for heaven's sake, put it on, you know, a hard surface or something that doesn't contain anything flammable.
It shouldn't get that hot, to be honest.
It shouldn't. I mean, I think the one report I did see, somebody clocked it in at 116 degrees Fahrenheit, which is kind of toasty.
Yeah, but not as toasty as a bunch of Intel CPUs get. So,
true.
Okay, that's fair.
That is fair.
You're not going to heat your house with this.
Yeah, and speaking of Intel CPUs, if you're someone who needs to do sustained operations on your iPhone, they make little USB-C fans that will clip to your back via MagSafe.
Huh.
And they will effectively cool down that phone.
Actually, Kelly Gumont uses an external fan on her iPhone. And it's, I think it's because of Pokemon Go.
Okay.
Not surprising.
Yeah. All right. So the three of you, you've had your phones for a week now, or in your case, Patrice, almost a week.
Yeah, 3 days.
We'll just roll with it. Almost a week. Do you have a favorite feature yet?
Yes.
Okay, what's your favorite feature, Patrice?
The camera, actually. Like, I mean, not surprising, because it's also the biggest difference, to be honest, other than the like titanium. I took a photo last night. Like, there was some noise outside, and somewhere in the house was asking, like, what's going on? I'm like, yeah, there's like a party of like the construction workers over there, and I took a photo. And like, I noticeably the what's it called, night shot, whatever the feature is called, I forget, it's better. That whatever night
nice.
Mode,
okay,
night mode, is that it? I forgot what it's even called. You know, photos at night.
Yeah, night mode.
Yeah, I
night
know mode. What you're talking about.
It's noticeably less noisy and better, and you don't have to hold it for as long and stuff like that. So,
okay,
that's pretty cool.
That's cool. The night mode, night shot photos that I've taken on my 12 Pro have always been really impressive. And knowing that the low light image capture has improved dramatically, that's saying a lot.
From the 12, a lot, yes.
Yeah, because even on the 12, it's those are pretty good images.
Yeah, so that's okay. for me my favorite feature.
All right, Chuck, how about you?
Well, okay, so I've said this before, it's tough to separate iPhone iOS 17 from the phone. So but if you ask me strictly what my favorite feature is about the phone, we already talked about it. It's USB-C. I mean, there's I can abandon my Lightning cables for the most part. I still have a couple Lightning devices around, but you know, it's not a big deal. But I like the idea of having the option to move things on and off the phone faster, easier. So that if I, especially the one thing I'm really looking forward to is playing with some of the very high res or the log video. And that means, and by the way, if you bought anything less than a 512, you have to have an external drive attached. But to be able to attach a small, you know, NVMe SSD to this and just dump stuff over is hugely appealing. So I feel like that USB-C port is only going to become more important as we go forward, as more people figure out more things that they can connect to it, that maybe the Lightning just wouldn't have supported the performance. So
and yeah, definitely wouldn't have because it was USB 2.
Yeah. And so, yeah. So, I mean, to Patrice's point, I think I said this on David's show last night, I really haven't played with the camera enough because it's been a week of rain and ugliness here. And I haven't really taken the time because, you know, there are no shots I want to go out and take. I'm hopeful that will change this weekend and I can get to play with it a little more. But the night shot thing is intriguing, Patrice. I hadn't even thought about testing that out. So that'll be another thing to do.
Cool. All right, Dave, how about you?
Yeah, I think everybody's pretty much summed up what I like too. USB-C is huge. The camera, I haven't had a lot of time with it, but just what I've seen so far, the ability of having that 5x zoom is incredible. So I would kind of just package both of them and just I'll camp on to what Patrice and Chuck said, that both are really good improvements. And USB-C is going to be a big thing. I like the fact of being able to have the flexibility of the speed, connecting, copying files off, and charging and all that stuff. So
awesome. All right. Well, I'm looking forward to whenever I get an iPhone 15. And I was debating for a long time, should I get a 15 or a 15 Pro? And when I say long time, I mean since the keynote where we got to see the phones. And I can tell when I get my phone, it'll be a 15 Pro. And the real piece that will push me over into getting the Pro versus the non-Pro model is the cameras, which is always what pushes me over into the Pro model set.
Yep.
So I'm just accepting that now, and that's okay.
Yeah, and I mean, this year the difference is also USB 2 versus USB 3 speeds. Like the USB-C port on the standard 15 only does USB 2.0.
Right.
Yeah, which most people honestly probably don't care about. Like, it's not important to them, but like for us, it might be.
And that's fair. Yep. So we've been talking so long just about the iPhone, which is totally fine. I think we should have a little bit of news. And I think that news is that TSO Host is amazingly awesome. And
that's not even news. That's just fact.
That's not news.
That's just fact. You're right. That's just fact. So we're not even doing news. We're just doing fact. TSO Host is awesome. And what makes them awesome? Well, first they offer great customer support. They have rock solid web hosting services, and as if I'm going to offer a whole numbered list, and then I just start offering a list. So I clearly need to rethink how I craft my lists. So I'll just pretend like I set that list up really well and say, and the other thing is that they like giving back to the community and they're supporting us. What they're doing is leveraging all the things that they do so well to help us be here. They're giving us the hosting space we need for our website. They're giving us the server space we need for all of the show files. You can watch or listen to the recordings anytime you want. They're giving us the bandwidth to be able to live stream multiple shows every single week. The resources it takes to do all of these things, it's beyond what we would be able to manage to bring together ourselves. And they're just incredibly generously saying, well, here you go. Here's everything you need. And I think it's just absolutely fantastic that they want to do something for the community, and that they're doing that by helping us out. So we really, really appreciate everything TSO Host is doing. What you can do to show your appreciation is hop on social media and thank TSO Host for being here and supporting the British Tech Network. Super easy to do, only takes a minute, and that's it. Then they get a little thank you, which is great, because even though they're doing this just because they want to support us, it's nice to get a thank you, to know that people appreciate what you're doing. So please go do that. Now, when the time comes that you decide, hey, I need to buy a domain name, I want to set up a website, go ahead and use TSO Host, because they're showing through us just how solid their services are. So why not take advantage of that? Get your domain, add it into the cart. They make it super easy to do. If you need a web hosting package, add that into, and then add the discount code BTN20, and you're going to get 20% off your order, which is super generous. On top of supporting us, they're giving you a discount just because you're part of the BTN family. So thank you, TSO Hosts, for being here and supporting us. Speaking of support, Patrice, can you please support me and tell people about the chat, please?
Of course. So we have a really awesome chat room that is also hosted on TSO Host, by the way, that you can join when we are live recording. So every Friday, 4 p.m. UK time for the Mac Show. And by the way, also on Thursdays, 7 p.m. UK time for the Big Show, if you're into the, like, you know, the non-Apple side of things. Like, we talk about CPUs, and we talk about space tech and social media and, like, Android and Windows and gaming and, like, anything that is somehow related. Car tech, like, whatever, like, any tech other than Apple. Because Apple, we have this show. So, like, maybe something to check out. And then you head over to chat.britishtechnetwork.com when we're recording. And you're in. You can talk to us. You can see all the links that we like post when we are talking about stories. And you can see the links for the cool things that are about to come up and all of that. So that's really cool. But like, some people probably don't have time for it, or they just prefer not to listen to us ramble live, which is totally fine. Like, maybe you want to listen to us in 2x speed, which you can't do if you're listening live. Totally fine. That's why we put out
that way.
Yeah, we could. That's why we put this out. Like, that's why we record it. Totally fine. Not a problem. We don't take it personally. Not at all. You can, of course, not go to the live chat then, because that's not live anymore. But you can still get to everything that was talked about, all the links and everything. And for that, we have a really handy website, or we have a site on our website, britishtechnetwork.com/chat. If you head over there, you will get a little calendar that, or it will present a little calendar that you have to select a date on. And you select today's date as we are recording this, which I'm going to tell you is the 29th of September, 2023. So September 29th, 2023. And if you put that in, you will see everything that was talked about.
Awesome. Thank you for doing that, Patrice. You rock.
You're welcome.
All right. So it's time for some cool things. Who has the first cool thing?
I can go.
Okay.
I have this USB-C hub I bought a little while ago. It's a 10 gigabit docking station. So it's 10-in-1. It has two USB 3.1 as well as three USB 3.0s as well, and one USB-C. It does have the USB-C power delivery, and then you also have two HDMI 4K. It drives 4K videos and Ethernet. So it's a really inexpensive little hub docking station, and found it to be very, very useful for any needs you have. I have it hooked up here. I hook up drives and other things to it all the time. And if you need it in a pinch for even Ethernet, you got that built in too. And it's in a USB-C connector too. It's good. It's good. And it's got 10% off. So it's like 30, almost nice. Like 32 bucks.
35 bucks.
They take 10% off that.
That's very cool.
Yeah.
Cool. I'm just sitting here looking at the image. Sorry, I got distracted. Okay, very cool. And yeah, so it's like throw this in your bag. Now you have like a whole mm-hmm. dock for whatever.
Yep.
Very cool. Awesome. All right. Ben, that brings us to your cool thing.
Well, I'm going to be greedy and do a double but related cool thing.
Doubly cool?
Yep. The first one should be right up Jeff's alley and related to the .1 betas.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So as of iOS, macOS, blah, 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 OS, anything that'll actually hook up a game controller, as soon as the final is released, or if you're like me and nuts and get all the betas, the Nintendo 64 Switch controller will be compatible with the 0.1 operating systems as soon as they were released.
Very cool.
So if you like that controller and weren't a superior Sega guy like me, you can get this controller and hope it. Where's the Mac port of GoldenEye? We need that.
People flip out over GoldenEye.
Yeah, but it's it has pretty much everything you would expect. It has a rumble function built in, which is fully supported via Apple's controller interface. It's weighted and looks just like it. Plus, it's not Bluetooth, so you don't have to worry about tripping over wires.
Okay. Cool.
Yep. The other part, there's this little company called 8-Bit Do or Dio. I don't know. Being a metal guy, I just pronounce it Dio. But
Chuck, you didn't even react.
I'm sorry, Patrice is calling a correction on my pool thing, so I'm searching for an alternative.
So there you go, Jeff.
I haven't done anything. It's
like, it was me. Yeah, I did call it.
Oh, you did. Yeah. Excuse me. Okay.
Okay. As a website special, 8BitDO is doing translucent black and translucent purple versions of its Pro 2 Bluetooth controller, which is compatible with the MFI controller interface. As someone whose primary Dreamcast controller was the translucent black one, having another retro type controller in that same finish is calling my name. In fact, this is probably going to be my birthday present.
Cool. And it's funny that translucent cases, that's now a retro thing.
Yeah, literally. I had translucent cases 25 years ago, or translucent controllers 25 years ago.
Very cool. Awesome.
Because, oh, go ahead.
Oh, no, it's, yeah, no, I totally get it. It was a thing. We used to always do translucent everything. Thank you, Apple.
That's
yeah.
True.
Yeah. Okay. So yeah. Now, Chuck, that brings us to you, which it looks like you got that sorted out.
I got it sorted out. Yeah, this is one of those generic things that, you know, multiple companies sell. I didn't buy this particular one, but I bought one that looks, in fact, the write-up looks exactly like it. So a few months ago now, hard to believe it's been months, I decided to redo my office with new desks, new everything, and actually buy some computer desks instead of cobbling things together. And one of the things I learned is that you can clamp a ridiculous number of things onto a computer desk, mm-hmm. which is fantastic. The only trouble is one of the desks, the main one that I picked, because of the braces underneath and all, present a little problem for some of the clampable drawers. And I really did need just like one drawer to put pens and things, you know, that are easily accessible that I don't put just scattered all over the desk all the time. And I came across this, which is it's a swiveling basket that goes under the desk. So it's not exactly a drawer in that sense, but it swivels out of the way. You can swivel it the whole way around, nice. Or you can just leave it, you know, partially swiveled. It was a perfect solution because this one does not interfere with the brace, or more accurately, the brace under the desk doesn't interfere with this. Gives me more than enough storage. In fact, it's almost too much storage because there's that temptation to start piling stuff in it. And so you have to be a little careful with that. But I would encourage anybody that's, you know, if you've got a new desk or you're looking for more accessories, start looking at what you can clamp on, because now I've got a clamp on power strip and, you know, I'm not going to move it, but, you know, obviously for the AV folks amongst us, you can clamp on swing arms for your mic. You can clamp on, there's a pull back here that is holding my iPhone to use as a camera. It's kind of crazy how much you can outfit all of this stuff. So, but this one just was a really nice, inexpensive solution for me to have some extra storage. And so I wanted to share it with you all.
Yeah.
It just cost
me
money.
Looks awesome. Yes. Same here.
It just cost me money too.
Good. Good. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean,
well, that's one of my other goals in life.
Yeah. Between these and the grommet holes in my desk, there's going to be a lot of bolted on stuff to this desk to clean it up.
You know, I'm looking at this thinking I could mount it on the backside of my desk and never use the pivot part. And these power bricks that I have sitting down below the desk, I could move them into this, which would address an issue that I have with making sure that I have the right cable links for when I use my desk in the standing position.
Yep.
Oh.
Good idea.
Yeah. I mean, Jeff, there are dedicated power brick and cable baskets that you can get that are specifically designed for that. But there's almost no reason, because of the openings here, there's no reason you couldn't do with this what you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
In fact, I hadn't even thought about it. That's a really great idea.
And I think this costs less than a lot of those under desk cable power brick organizer or holder things.
Yeah, probably so.
I'll have probably to do a check. But yeah, you probably just cost me $22.
Good. Yeah. I mean, it was I got one of the others and found that it didn't work and sent it back. And I was about to abandon the idea. I saw this and it's like, oh, why not give it a shot? And it really has solved the issue. Ben is stroking his card again.
Yeah. Ben is about to order some for Jeff. That's what he's saying.
Oh, that's so sweet.
Yes, I am.
Thank you, Ben. Yeah.
No, I'm about to order them for me.
All right. Patrice, we haven't done your cool thing yet, have we?
No, we have not. Oh, and I should post it. Yeah, I forgot about that. So mine is this case. So my current iPhone. So this is the, like as always, it's the Spigen case. Oh, I should have put the company in. That would have been helpful in the text. Okay. But it's the Spigen iPhone 15 Pro Max Ultra Hybrid MagFit case, basically. They have like 6 or 7 different colors. Some of them are clear all around. and they just have the, like, what do you see here? Like, the gold, I have gold, so the golden, like, MagSafe ring, basically. Some of them have also, you can, I think, black and red, and like, I think one or two others. Also, the outside, the frame, basically, has a different color. So you can choose what you want, if that's your thing. But those are really good cases. I've had the last one on, like, my old phone for a year, and it, I mean, other than little dirt on it, looks brand new, never had any issues. It's thrown down my phone a couple of times, not on purpose, just happened. Dropped it, stuff like that, and it's been really good, protected really well. So I'm a big fan of Spigen. They're like, it's not exactly cheap, it's like $50, I think, but I mean, you can pay as much for the Apple one and get worse quality.
This is better.
Yes, this is way better. So yeah, and it's MagSafe, so like, it works even with your MagSafe and everything. So yeah, that's all I can say for it.
Very works nice. Well.
Functional and gives you a little bit of bling.
Yep, exactly. Yep,
I have the 12 Pro version of this case right now.
Probably just looks like this, probably.
Yep, looks just like that.
Mm-hmm.
And when I get around to upgrading my phone, I'll probably just buy the new version.
And and the thing is, I think they get some advance notice from Apple or something, because they are always available day one. Like, the second the phone is announced, basically they have their stuff up. So I would guess that they have some insider info somehow, or Apple just shares it with them and says, okay, you're a trusted vendor, you never share any of it, like, here's the spec, here's the button outlet, whatever, go do your thing.
If not Apple, they know someone at the factories.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this is it. Somehow they always manage day one they're available, and available means not just available, but we're shipping it in like a week, which still would be fine, because usually it takes a little bit longer between like a phone announcement and the phone actually being in your hand. No, like, it shows up a day or two after. Like, if you order it from Amazon, it's same day or next day or whatever you have.
Nice. Yep. So Patrice, you're costing me money.
Good.
But this is a proactive money spending, and
good. Yeah. The only funny thing is on the packaging, it says 2023 iPhone 6.7. So very clearly they do not know what the phones are called. I mean, not that it was very hard this year to guess, but they very clearly do not know what the names of the phones are.
I mean, they're given product dimensions, not kind of marketing beyond
that. Not marketing, which is fine. I mean, it's like, okay, this is the 2023 Pro 6.7. Okay, fine.
Yeah, that's all you need right there.
Exactly.
Because honestly, the marketing can change up to pretty close to release.
Mm-hmm.
They hit the hardware dimensions itself. For tooling purposes, they have to be finalized fairly early.
Very early, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I've seen photos somewhere where there's like, they basically have dummy units, like, for the dimensions. Like, they don't look like the actual phone, like, nothing. It's just like, okay, this is how the dimensions work.
Cool. All right, so I guess now it's my turn for a cool thing.
Mm-hmm.
And my cool thing is not
Lego
specific, and it is not Lego. So Lego, they'll have some new stuff coming out soon, because they do new product launches in waves. So don't worry, I'll have some more Lego to talk about soon. what I'm talking about today is a TV series on Netflix that I just started watching. Instead of watching all the shows that I already have on my list that I need to jump into, I thought, oh, I'll just turn this on while I'm doing other things, and it'll just be something kind of happening. And I kind of ended up sitting down and just watching the whole first episode and then the second episode. And it's called One Piece. So it's a live action series based on the manga called One Piece, which was also turned into an animated series at some point, which I didn't know about. And now they're doing live action. So the premise is, it's this world that is mostly water, and there's like one, I guess, like really long, narrow continent, but most of the land masses, it's just different islands. So it's a world where life on ships is just kind of how things work. And it's kind of a fantasy-ish sort of thing. And so you have this ragtag. Kevin Costner? Yeah. Yeah. So you have this ragtag crew of people that are looking for the treasure from this pirate that had been captured and executed. And the treasure is called the One Piece. And there are all these different pirate crews that have been scouring the oceans looking for this treasure. And here's this crew that's not your typical pirate crew, because they're not out to pillage and steal unless they need to steal something that helps them on their journey, but they're always helping people out, and it's just a fun series. You don't have to invest a lot of brain power in it.
That's perfect. Got none left. So
yeah. And you get to have some fun sword fight stuff happening, and they've in the first two episodes they even set up stuff where you can see where characters are going to end up having to at some point deal with what's already happening for them just in the first two episodes. And anyhow, it's just fun. It's like an hour per episode, and there's one season right now. It's on Netflix, so who knows if it's going to get renewed.
Probably not, especially if it's good. Not.
And there are 8 episodes in the season. So there you go. One Piece on Netflix.
Nice.
I've never even heard of this.
I hadn't either. It's just one of those things where you get recommended shows. And apparently based on the type of things that I watch, they felt that they should tell me about One Piece. And, well, they know me. They were right.
Mm-hmm.
I'm enjoying it.
Yeah, if it wasn't on Netflix, I might watch it.
I can appreciate that. Yep. All right. So with that, this has been loads of fun. And I think it's time for the most important question of the day, which is, where can people find all of you? Dave, where can people find you?
You can find me at InTouchableIOS, InTouchableIOS.com. YouTube is YouTube.com/InTouchableIOS. I'm on Mac Voices Live every Tuesday nights, 8 p.m. Eastern, and I'm also here on Fridays, and I'm on Mastodon at DaveG65 at Mastodon.club. Thank you.
Awesome. And Chuck, how about you?
MacVoices.com is where you'll, pardon me, where you'll see all the interviews that I'm doing and the people I'm talking to. We have a lot of fun. We also try to inform, educate, and make you think a little bit along the way. We do Mac Voices Live on Tuesday nights, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, whatever time it is, wherever you are, with pretty much everybody here, including Patrice, when she can stay up late or stay up early, depending on which way you look at it. Join us in the chat room at youtube.com/MacVoicesTV. And on a whole lot of socials that I will not name here, I can be found as at Chuck Joyner. Thank you, Jeff.
Awesome. All right, Patrice, your turn.
Yeah, but okay, I'm not going to comment on what Chuck just said. I was just thinking. I was just, no. No, you can find me every week here on the Big Show. Sorry, on the Mac Show on Fridays. Also on the Big Show on Thursdays. You can find out everything I'm doing, like all the social media links, the podcast projects, like literally everything, on my website, thepatrice.com. And if you want to, like, learn more about food and cooking and all of that, and like what other people's like experiences have been and stories and so on, head over to my podcast, Foodie Flashback, at foodieflashback.com, or whatever podcast, in whatever podcast player you're using.
Awesome. All right, wrap us up, Ben.
You want me to wrap? That will never go well. Oh, you want me to do my outro?
If you want to wrap your outro, that's okay.
Oh gosh, don't do that.
I have already done that to to several things you should not be rapping. So I will just say you can find me on social media at Ben Rathig. And that is all social media. All the social media. You can find my writings at rathig.tech. You can find me on Tuesday nights on Mac Voices with Chuck Joyner. You can find me Thursday nights on In Touch with iOS with Dave Ginsberg. You can find me, and plus you can find me Thursday and Fridays here on the British Tech Network on the Big and Mac shows, which if combined would make me hungry.
Understandable, because both shows, absolutely delicious.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. All right, so Ben wrapped it up, which means I'm the denouement. Let's see, social medias, Jay Gamut on all of them. I'm most active on Mastodon and Instagram. Fair warning, you're about to get a drawing a day from me all through October because it's Inktober. So as we record, that means what, in 2 days, I'm going to be dropping a new drawing every day. So you'll be seeing extra stuff on my feeds because of that. All right, then for shows, Chuck keeps letting me on Mac Voices Live, and I do appreciate it. Then, so that's Tuesdays. Then on Thursdays, Dave keeps letting me come back on In Touch with iOS, and I do appreciate it. Then here on the British Tech Network, Thursdays for the Big Show, Fridays for the Mac Show. And unlike yesterday, I can tell the difference between the two shows, so I can get the names right. And then Brian Chaffin and I record the Context Machine. Okay, so I think that's all the stuff. Thank you, all of you. You absolutely rock. And this has been a wonderful way to start off my Friday morning and kick off the weekend. This is just so much fun getting to hang out with all of you. And I look forward to it every single week. All of you that are here watching, listening live, participating in the chat, thank you for being here. It's just great to get to have you as part of my Friday as well. Everyone that watches or listens to the recordings later on, thank you for being part of the BTN family. All of you, the whole BTN family, all of you, you just rock. Ewan, thanks for being you. Muller, thank you for making sure we have people for the shows every week. TSO host, thank you for being here and supporting us. Give them some online love, people. If you're not watching or listening to the Daily News Show every week, hey, check that out because it's a really great tech news resource, and then throw some money at it too, because that's how we keep that thing going. All right. So with all of that, I think it's safe for me to say that you should join us next Thursday for the Big Show, then again next Friday for the Mac Show, and everyone have an awesome weekend.
Also repeat.